I'm Eddie Brock. I'm a reporter.
I always seem to find myself
questioning something the government may not be looking at. I found something really bad. And I have been...
Eddie.
Who said that? Taken.
Look around at the world. What do you see? A planet on the brink of collapse. Human beings are disposable. But man and symbiote combined. This is a new race, a new species. A higher life form.
What do you want from me?
You'll find out.
I'm so sorry.
We cannot just hurt people.
Look into my eyes, Eddie. The way I see it. We can do whatever we want. Do we have a deal? Eyes, lungs, pancreas, so many snacks, so little time.
That power, it's not completely awful.
You have no idea how much you're scaring me right now.
Eddie, cooperate. And you just might survive.
Guys, you do not want to do this, trust me.
Giant leaps will always come at a cost.
I have a parasite. Yeah. Name is Chen.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Azisu back again. E-Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 114, ESP at the Movies, Venom. And now, before I go any further, he is Venom? It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Yes, ESP at the Movies. Venom is here. We've both seen it. And I'm sure a lot of you have, but if you have not seen the movie yet, we're going to kind of tell you what we thought about it in the beginning. And then we're going to go into, you're going to hear our spoiler alert, and then we're going to roll into spoilers. So, I mean, fair warning. Before we roll into spoilers, we will warn you again. So,
sure.
We're going to spoil the hell out of this movie and... all the two double end credit scenes and all that. So, all right. Do you have all the info pulled up? Because I do not on who directed it and all that.
Yeah. This was directed by Ruben Fleischer. He also directed Zombieland. He was a producer on Gangster Squad. He directed 30 Minutes or Less. He's directed some episodes of Superstore and Santa Clarita Diet, American Housewife. So, yeah, he's done some stuff. And actually, yeah, I mean, Zombieland's considered to be a very well thought of movie.
Yeah, I did enjoy that one. I don't think it needed a sequel, but I guess we're getting that. I don't know when.
Are they doing a TV show for that?
I don't know. I heard it was a movie.
Okay.
Who wrote this?
This was written by Jeff Pinker, did the screenplay, Scott Rosenberg, Kelly Marcel. They gave Todd McFarlane a credit as, you know, he created the Venom character, and also David Micheline, but I don't think their credits just go as far as the character creation. So.
Well, all righty. That is everybody. And what did you think of it?
Okay. Well, I guess I should give you some of the cast, too. Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, Riz Ahmed, Scott Hayes. Yeah, probably shouldn't get into the rest without getting into spoilers. But, yeah, just general overall thoughts, non-spoilerish thoughts about this film. I had heard the bad reviews going in a few places. I usually respect, you know, their reviews. They're usually pretty fair, and they did not have good reviews of this movie. I saw from IGN, they're usually pretty fair. They gave it a 4 out of 10. So I went into this movie preaching low expectations, and I sent that to you, and it was funny. I missed it, so you had already started watching it, but you said, this had better be good. And I said, no, you can't go in that way. So for me, like I said, I set the bar low. And for me, overall, I really do think that helps sometimes when you're watching movies. I mean, that being said, my bar is almost usually always high during MCU, and then I always really enjoy it still anyway, which is why I just enjoy those movies so much. But for this one, what I felt, the vibe I got from it overall was like a comic book movie made in the time before the MCU, before the first Iron Man 10 years ago. I got that kind of comic book movie vibe from it. And I don't know, you know, as far as like the performances, it's interesting to hear so many people talk about like what Tom Hardy does with roles and his, like, if you look at just a handful of his movies, you'll notice he, as an actor, he has this thing where like every role he wants to like do a voice, and he's doing like a New Yorker living in San Francisco Bay Area voice for this one that I've heard some people say, you know, he doesn't come close to pulling off, but it was fine. It didn't bother me too much, but yeah. And then just, I want to be careful because I don't want to get into spoilers, but overall, I was able to find some enjoyment with this movie. I also knew that this is a film that doesn't have like the capabilities of an MCU movie, and you can't pull in all characters and certain characters. So, yeah. I want to be careful not to say too much more spoilers, so I'll let you kind of kick off your non-spoilers thing, and then I'll get a little more into it when we talk non-spoilers.
I'm trying to find a synopsis of what this is going to be about, because the one on IMDb is only like a sentence long. Hopefully this one will right. work. Journalist Eddie Brock is trying to take down Carlton Drake, the notorious and brilliant founder of the Life Foundation. While investigating one of Drake's experiments, Eddie's body emerges with the alien Venom, leaving him with superhuman strength and power. Twisted, dark, and fueled by rage, Venom tries to control the new and dangerous abilities that Eddie finds so intoxicating. If we go back to our last episode, you said that A Star Is Born was going to crush this. And you are wrong.
Yes, I did.
You are wrong. This so far, this has made $80 million, and Star Is Born has made 42.6 million. I told you. I mean, this is, it's a comic book movie. Nothing beats comic book movies the opening weekend. I mean, especially this one. I mean,
honestly,
everybody,
I'm shocked.
Everybody loves Venom. If you're a comic book fan. And your non-comic book fan just love seeing all these movies. So, I mean, I had no doubt that this movie was going to be the top one. Who knows? Maybe next weekend it might not be, but I don't know. It probably will. But I saw this with my son.
The Star Is Born might have a longer life, maybe.
I would say just mainly because it would be the Academy Award type of stuff. So I think that would be around. Venom's going to be here for a month or so and then yank it. Star Is Born will go on. But I had no
doubt. Yeah, I was definitely wrong, though. I was wrong.
I had no doubt that this was going to crush everything. I think it's stupid to put up movies against comic book movies. Maybe not so much the Fox ones that come out because those are hit and miss, even with the fans that love like the X-Men movies. I mean, everyone loves those characters in the books, but then when you go see those movies, you're kind of let down. Those are the movies that I can go into with. All right, the storyline has changed. They explained why it's changed, and let me watch what's on the screen. I know everybody hated Apocalypse. It was all right to me. I didn't have a problem with it. But with this one, as being one of my top favorite Marvel villains, Scorpion being number one, and Nacho...
What kind of a villain?
Nacho, you better not fuck up Scorpion. So... this movie was garbage, man. I did not like it at all. There was some things in it that I liked, but it was a fucking mess, man. I was like, oh, what are you doing to my childhood? I was like, and my son, he loved it. He doesn't really know a Venom, but I was fucking like, nothing against any of the actors. Tom Hardy's good. He was actually pretty good in this. I liked him. Mona Lisa, she was only in it for a little bit. I always like her no matter what. Bodhi Rook, Riz Ahmed. Yeah, he's all right. I didn't really buy him as a bad guy.
I'm always a fan of his.
I didn't buy it at all. He's too goody-goody. Pretty boy. But on a good note for Riz Ahmed, it made me want to go back and finish what was that show? The Night of.
Night of.
It made me want to
Good show.
It made me want to go back and finish that because that's all I made it. You should have waited until we saw Venom. Cause that's all I could see was that guy that go back and listen to, was it Up to the Challenge we did that one?
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that. It did make me want to watch that because I was like, because that's all I can think of when I see him on the screen. It was different when he was Bodhi Rook because I never saw Night Of yet. But I couldn't buy him as a bad guy. And then when he slowly starts to
feel
his plan, and then I was like, okay, I'm still not buying it. Michelle Williams, they didn't need her at all. She's a good actress, but I thought her character was kind of pointless. I mean, they could have got some nobody or someone that wasn't didn't have to pay as much. I mean, And for those of you that are familiar with the Bay Area, oh my God, man, that's what I love about when they film things down there. It makes me laugh all the time because I know it's got to be exciting. There's a car chase scene. You fly around one corner, yeah, and you end up way on the other side of the city. So,
right.
They did that in Ant-Man, which is funny. I know what they're doing. They're trying to make it super exciting. I thought that hill chase scene was pretty awesome. It's in the trailer. I'm not spoiling anything. And that big Life Foundation buildings, they're not there.
Yes.
That's all.
Did you know where that is, right?
Yeah. There's like nothing over there. There's nothing on that hill.
Right,
There's stuff, but nothing that big. So,
yeah, it's a place where you can drive up and overlook the bay. It's actually a great place for photography.
I don't know about that, but there's a cool place to skate up there at the old World War II. Not two. I guess it was. I don't know. There's old war military bunkers there. So all that stuff you can skate up there. So any of you skaters listening to this, man, if you're not familiar with that, there's stuff on that side as well as the other side. The San Francisco side up at Fort Miley, man. Awesome little banks and a ton of videos that are filmed up there. Everyone, if you skaters, go check it out. But what else can I say before we get into it? I thought this was all over the place. The CGI was a mess. I didn't like what they were trying to do with everything. It just, some of it just didn't make sense. And I know it's a comic book movie, and I know when we're supposed to go into this with open eyes and just take it for what it is. But like I said, Venom is a character that's so dear to me as a kid, as a teenager. And it was just, oh my God. I mean, there was times where I did like how he looked, but a lot of the busy shots when action and all that was flying around, I thought that was stupid. Or it just didn't, not stupid, but it just didn't look good. I mean, especially some of the stuff at the end. We'll get into that in spoilers. There was too much going, yeah. There was too much going on the screen, and it was a big mess. I did like CGI wise the when the symbiotes were crawling around and everything in the labs. I thought that was cool, but I don't know. There was some things that I might have missed. I do want to see it again. There was something in this that they mentioned. We'll get into that in spoilers, but when they said that, I was like, I got excited for a second, and then something happened to where I was like, oh my God. I mean, we'll get into that in spoilers. I was just like, really? You guys, you're killing me with this. But I'll see it again. I'm sure I'll buy it when it comes out. Eric really enjoyed it. He liked what he saw, but then again, he doesn't really know any of it. So,
right,
for someone like me that knows it, I just and I'm not the only one out there. I know a lot of people liked it. I read the reviews on Fandango and everything, and everybody are like, "Oh my God, it was awesome!" Don't listen to what the critics. I don't listen to them anyway. I listen to the fans. I never read the critics' opinions because they're just,
it's hard to believe the fans, though.
I just don't know. I'd rather listen to them because they have no, they have nothing to gain. I mean, the critics, man, they're no people. So, I mean, like you and I mean, people can probably care less of what all the bitching that I'm going to be doing, that I'm doing right now, and what I'm going to be doing later. But
no,
I'm just saying. I mean, I'd rather listen to fans.
I'm saying online fans, on pod fans, definitely I would trust that. But as far as the written word, that's a little harder to believe when it's just some random user review.
I didn't even write nothing. All I put was a little garbage or waste basket emoji on all the things that I read. I was kind of like, oh, really? I understand. I mean, you guys you want to enjoy it. And I know the love for Tom Hardy. A friend of mine, shout out to you, Lakota. She said, I enjoyed it because I don't know this character. I don't know what it is. She loves Tom Hardy, and that's fine. I mean, that's cool. I expect that from people, but everyone that knows this character, I mean, I don't know. This is my opinion. I don't know why a lot of people enjoyed this. I mean, maybe it's just not, this character isn't that much to them. It meant a lot to me because it was something.
Probably.
It was something new. Growing up as Spider-Man being my, who's your favorite? Spider-Man's my all-time favorite Marvel character. Who's yours?
All-time favorite Marvel character?
On the good side.
Oh, man. That's really hard just because I like it. I like it so much. It's like I got like a million going through my head right now. But I always had a big appreciation for Venom 2. Venom, Carnage, that whole McFarlane era of Spider-Man, mainly for the art. I loved McFarlane's work.
I don't care about the art. Who's Marvel. Your favorite character? I was lucky enough to
be following it. It's changed too much. I don't know if I have one that I could just say is above any other. I'd write Rocket Raccoon, but it's not always been Rocket Raccoon.
Mine's been Spider-Man right from the get-go. I mean, even the first time that I've heard of it and watching cartoons and the live-action TV shows and reading the books as a kid, I mean, it was always Spider-Man. I thought it was cool. It was just some normal average Joe that got bit by a radioactive spider, and then his adventure begins. I thought that was awesome. He was just a young teenager, and then he was fighting crime, and then all this craziness happened to him with bad guys and everything. So, I mean, always Spider-Man was always been there for me. I can go to him and enjoy everything that he has done. I mean, not so much of this new stuff, because I understand you got to go and change. I'm not talking about movies. I'm talking about comics. When they like, okay, that's when the Spider-Verse erupted. We got to go do this because I understand everyone's kind of tired of this old original Spider-Man. Let's put Spider-Man in the year 2099.
You just got to tell a new story.
Yeah, so right. I mean, I'm cool. I mean, I love 2099 and everything else. I mean, that's why there was numerous other books. There was Spider-Man Unlimited. There was the Spectacular Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, and the jillion other Spider-Man stories that came out. I was always a fan of the Amazing Spider-Man, and that's what I love. I love Spider-Man. I mean, the many different forms of him, and if you go into art, everyone that's took on this character has changed it, and it's just made it look awesome. You go back to how he first looked and then how now, even Venom with that character, you go to how when he first appeared, and then you go to now, whatever, there's a jillion Venom books that keep coming out. So, and I do understand the storyline changes in that, but when this is the second time that we get to see Venom on the screen. And in my opinion, as much as I didn't really care for Spider-Man 3, I thought they did a better job in that with Venom. Not his appearance, but
really?
I thought they did a better job with that on just what they tried to do with him. He looked crappy. I didn't really care for I didn't care for Topher Grace as Eddie Brock, but they at least sort of stuck with it, the storyline. And not really, but I don't know.
Wow.
This one was just a mess, and I just did not. I'm sorry, everyone.
Wow.
It was like,
Wow. Yeah. Interestingly, both Spider-Man 3 and Venom, overall, didn't get like very positive reviews from a good amount of critics and fans. But did you know, I didn't know this too until I just recently read it, but Spider-Man 3 was the highest grossing movie the year it came out, and now Venom is now the highest. It was the highest Thursday opening for a movie in October, and yeah, that's really big. That's crazy, right? The question I have for you is, how your audience, because I was honestly, maybe this is where I should have known that Venom was going to beat Star Is Born, because I sadly missed my opportunity to see it opening night on the big screen in the area. 5 o'clock showing, I had to go to a 6 o'clock showing, which was a smaller screen. And even though it was like the second showing, it's full. And like, I was shocked. Because a lot of times I'll go to the movies around here, and I'm not even joking, it'll be like maybe one or two other groups. So like maybe 5-6 people in the theater total. And there had to be at least like 40 people. It was like full for around here. So I guess I should have known. Like, people just, people definitely don't always listen to the critics, you know?
Take a guess on how many people were in the theater I saw when I saw it.
One.
Four. And that's including me and Eric.
Wow.
But then again, that's wow. That's the town I live. That's the town I live in. I mean, this is a little one horse town. They could care less.
Yeah, kind of same here too, though. That's the thing.
Now, your area is a little bit bigger than the Ville.
Right.
we saw it in 3D. There's no need to see it in 3D unless you just like that. There was nothing really that stood out in this that was like, oh wow, that looks awesome. I mean, you had mentioned that they were kind of getting away from 3D. I think they should.
Yeah.
What I loved about 3D, growing up, every movie wasn't 3D. That there was only like a handful right. of ones that came out. And when one did come out in 3D, we're like, oh wow, let's go see it. And then there'd be years and years before the next 3D one came out. So that it was more of a treat when it was in 3D, like Jaws in 3D. Yeah, let's go. Friday the 13th in 3D. Yeah. Amityville 3D. Yeah. But those didn't come out like all in 1 year. I don't know, but like right now, everything is just converted, and it doesn't look good. I mean, so unless you're a 3D unless you're a 3D person, yeah, go for it if you haven't seen this yet. But if you're not, I'd avoid it. I know there's IMAX 3D, and there's also regular showings in IMAX. I would shoot for more of just a regular one in IMAX. Non-3D, it doesn't do anything for it. Overall, other than Tom Hardy was cool, some of the special effects were cool. I did like the car chase. I just love car chases. Not when it's CGI, but when it's real cars flying around the corners and all them crashing. Yeah, of course it is CGI too with some of that, but I did like the car chasing. I thought that's cool. I guess mainly the thing I liked is it was shot in the Bay Area, and I love the thing that's cool about it. I love they only show the nice parts of San Francisco. San Francisco is there's shitty parts in every city you go to, but they always seem to just film it in the nice areas, especially where they were.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Where they were living. Oh man, those hills are brutal. I couldn't live on those hills because those hills are steep. But
they are.
Everyone's gonna go see this movie regardless to what I think. I mean, the Zisu loved it a little more, and my son Eric, he liked it. I'm gonna see it again because there was something I missed that I heard about. I want to go and see. I don't know. It wasn't for me. Again, Venom has a spot in my heart, and Sony just ruined it again. But because I remember when we were at the panel for Spider-Man 3 at Comic-Con, and they showed us the little teaser that they always show there. At, if you've been to Comic-Con, they always bring scenes there just for us to see, and we've got our first shot of Venom in that, and I got goosebumps, and I was excited, and then the movie came out. So, but I mean, there was times where I did like how Venom looked, but I think one of the things, it took like almost an hour before you actually even seen Venom. And this is a spoiler alert, or this is a quick spoil. It's nothing important.
Yeah, but you want to get into it?
No, hold on. In the
just want to get into spoilers?
Hold on. In the trailer, when you first see Venom, when his face comes over and it says "We are Venom," in the trailer, he does not say that right in that scene. We can roll into spoilers, and so. You hear that sound, so you know where we're at. And go ahead. I'll let you start it off.
All right. I definitely have a few thoughts here. Also, I want to share this one article I came across. I'll send it to you here in a minute so you can, personally speaking. We all knew going in that we couldn't have the true Venom origin story with the whole Secret Wars thing. But after the fact, the more I was sitting there, I was thinking, like, maybe they could have. This was a Sony movie, and Sony actually does have the rights to Spider-Man. In a weird way, they really could have used it, even if they didn't want to use, or they couldn't use Tom Holland if they couldn't get him. They could have just had somebody in a spider suit. And I was thinking they could have done an intro with an actual Secret Wars, like, intro, like comic book style. You think that would have worked? Because the more I thought about it, that actually could have worked, right?
No. There's no way that could have worked, because we want to see it with everybody in it. I wait until they'll probably never do it, but who knows? Maybe they will. Wait until Disney gets a hold of everything and then do it. I would have been more mad if they did that.
You would have been more mad? Okay. I thought they could do it, but okay, so be it. And then another thing, kind of just jumping all over here, but I was on alert, like, instantly. I was always, once the kind of opening escape of the symbiote, I was positive that was going to end up with the serial killer, Cletus Kasady. So I was waiting left and right to see, like a serial killer prisoner transport or something like that. Since we're in spoilers, I can move right to that right now. It's what we get in that first after credit scene, the mid credit scene. We finally get that. And I know your instant reaction to me was trash, but I was intrigued. And now that I found that this is the same director that did Zombieland, I'm not surprised that he asked Woody Allen to do this. And I don't know. I'm intrigued. It's definitely not the first person I would imagine when I think of Cletus Kasady, but I don't know. Maybe the Zombieland director's thinking natural-born killers or something. I don't know. But you weren't crazy about that, huh?
It's Woody Harrelson, not Woody Allen. I don't mind Woody. I like Woody. But that wig. I was like, come on. I mean, you could have at least put some extensions in his hair or something. But I don't know. We'll see with the next one. From what I understood, man, when they first initially started this project, they said it was going to be a one and done, but they never do that. They said that with Solo, and then what did they do? They add Darth Maul into that, and or Maul now into that, but got me, which got me excited. I'm ready for it, but I just didn't like how he looked, and this is just a little way too early to bring in this character. And that is not.
I wouldn't mind seeing him as the main bad guy in this one.
No, it was.
Especially if it was supposed to be a one and done.
Eddie Brock was in prison with him. First of all, he didn't go visit him. So I was right. As soon as they went to jail, I knew where it was going. I just wanted to see who it was.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
And then when they
waiting to see Cletus Cassidy.
And when they show him, I was like, I mean, I have nothing against Woody Harrelson. He's an amazing actor, but it was just that wig that took me right out of it instantly. As soon as he turned around, I was like, come on. He didn't need to say, oh, there's going to be carnage. There was no reason to say that.
Carnage.
That was stupid. I was like,
yeah.
That was like, really? Yeah. I was like, man, you guys are killing me. Even all the way, not to the very end, but halfway point to the ending. I was like, oh, come on, guys. Who knows? I mean, Eddie,
why it had that vibe of 90s movies.
Woody Harrelson will do a good job. Hopefully, if Sony, if you guys are listening, do better on Carnage, because Riot looked horrible. But I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, this isn't the correct storyline, so who knows what they're going to do on how some of the symbiote gets to... Cassidy or Cletus, but I don't know. I just, oh man, that wig killed it for me, and the Carnage line was just unnecessary. All you had to do was say his name, and we would have knew who he was. I know a lot of people that didn't know who he was would have like, well, who is that? Who is that? But then you'd have your people in, oh, that's Carnage, and then I think it's cooler that way, because then. They can go look up to see who Carnage is. He didn't need to say it, but I didn't care for that first after credit scene. I thought it was like, but while we're talking about credit scenes, that last one, which people was like, well, what is this? It was just a little teaser to what's to come in December. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and oh my god, I was at the edge of my seat as soon as it looked animated. I went oh, and then I was like, oh my god, I was ready to jump up and cheer, because I cannot wait for that movie to come out. It was just seeing with Miles Morales, he's in the graveyard talking to Peter Parker at his grave. And then all hell breaks loose, and then we find Spider-Man swinging into it. And I know there's going to be comedy in this, but I kind of want a little more seriousness as well. But I thought that was an awesome scene with Miles Morales swinging around with Spider-Man. Well, Spider-Man's knocked out, and he's just dragging him along. He actually uses Spidey's web shooter to shoot, because the cops show up. And then he shoots the train and attaches, and then it starts pulling him down the street in Queens, I believe.
Yeah.
So, but oh man, that was awesome. But there was what's his name up on the roof?
Yeah.
Prowler. Yeah, that was cool to see that. It was just like a quick second, but you see it. Some people was like, oh no, it was just me and Eric in there, because everybody left, or there was only two other people in there. They just got up and left as soon as the movie was over. So they missed both scenes, but oh my god, that ending scene was amazing, and I cannot wait for Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, same here. It was interesting during our showing, a good amount of people left right away. They missed the Carnage scene, And then once the carnage scene aired, even more or less, there was only a handful. And then what was most surprising is because I was like, it's like a 5 minute into the Spider-Verse scene. It's a good length. It's not like a few seconds or anything. It was like a 5 minutes scene. So it was a nice chunk of scene. But a couple minutes in, a couple people walked out. Like, and I was like, really? You stayed this long and you don't have time for the Spider-Verse? I mean, it looked awesome. So I'm really excited. I'm excited for all the pops. Probably talk about it more on a regular episode, but so far I've found Spider-Ham and Spider-Man Noir from that. They're both Walgreens exclusives. And just looking at the back of the box, they have Miles Morales, a couple of them, Peter Spider-Gwen, Spider-Man Noir, Prowler, and Green Goblin. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And it's just the animation just looks so cool. It's hard to compare it to. Can you think of any other animation out there that you could compare it to?
No, I know Pixar is probably the best. It doesn't even look like their work.
Yeah, and it's kind of got that stylish, like, I don't know, it's real artistic to it. Like, the way, there's like almost a neon-ness to it also. Yeah, especially all the stuff.
I like their style of artwork. I mean, I just like what it looks like, man. It looks amazing. What the hell was I going to say? Tommy was texting me and I read something really quick. But, I mean, just what it is, it doesn't look like anything we've seen. I don't watch every animated CG or computer-generated movie. I mean, I see all the Pixar ones. But out of the stuff I've seen in my lifetime, there has nothing that looked like this. That's what I loved about it. Other than the artwork looks awesome. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know what it was going to look like. And then when we first got that first glimpse of Into the Spider-Verse with the little teaser trailer, I was like, oh, my God. And now I can't wait. And all these characters that are in it, I mean, especially for a big, huge Peter Parker, the Spider-Ham character. Oh, I cannot wait to see him in action. So, out of the whole hour and 52 minutes, if this scene was 5 minutes long, that was the best part of the whole film or the whole Venom experience. It had nothing to do with Venom, but that ending into the Spider-Verse, I was like, oh my God, that was worth the price of admission if I had to pay just to see that little clip. And I hope that isn't in the movie.
Right.
I don't want them to just, oh, we showed you this, but then we're going to show you again. I hope it was just something just for Venom, and then we're going to get
that'd be cool.
Everything we see from there on is going to be new to us. So I can't wait for that. I was so hyped, and I think I mainly want to see Venom again, other for the something that I missed, but I do want to see that scene again. I know you're not supposed to do it, but for those of you guys that do film things, film that one scene. One of the things that kind of pissed me off was in the beginning. They mentioned what is nuts. They say during the scene at the very beginning, you see this spaceship coming in. And then it crashes. Before it crashes, they say, oh, we got these specimens that we got on this meteor, and we're on our way back to Earth. And then something happens, and then they crash in Malaysia, I believe. So you go there, there's cops and everything, and all these people show up, and one of the little symbiotes, or symbiotes, whatever, however they said it in the film, gets out and gets away. But the other ones, they're still in their little cases and they find all those. But there was, oh, we got a survivor. And, they were like, oh, how's Jameson? And then we find out that he dies. And when they said his name, I was like, oh, cool. And then they said, nah, sorry, bro, he's dead. I was like, you motherfuckers. For those of you that don't know, John Jonah Jameson III is Man-Wolf, and I love Man-Wolf. And in this Sony's Spider Universe or whatever, we're not getting him now. I was like, you cocksuckers. Oh man. And that just started it off. I was like, and then it just spiraled down for me.
Right.
So they kicked me in the nuts. Also from my childhood, my little Nez baby nuts, right from the get go. I was like, but oh man, I was mad. I was like, come on. I know a lot of people don't know who Man-Wolf is, but just do your research. It was a character that I liked. I'm always fascinated with werewolves and the whole lichen thing and all that, but I thought it was cool. I just liked how the Man-Wolf looked. I liked his little suit that he tried to make, that he was hoping, because the story of him, he goes up into the moon, he finds this little asteroid rock, he brings it back home, and he makes it as a necklace, and then it turns him into the Man-Wolf, and then goes after Spider-Man. Well, trying to kill Mark of the Man-Wolf, he was trying to kill his dad, and nobody knew who this werewolf was, and then Spider-Man fights up with it, goes up against him, and then later we find out that it's JJJ's son, and he also finds out who he is. So, but it was cool, man. I like that storyline, but it was cool that they did bring him in for a second, but then killing him off, I was like, man, it just went from there. And going back to, we're going to jump all over the place and the spoilers, but sure. After that, I mean, then how I heard that was Skinny Pete that was one of the test dummies at Life Foundation. Did you see that?
No, I didn't know that. I definitely didn't. It didn't look like it to me, but maybe.
I was listening to something, and this guy said it was Skinny Pete. So I'm trying to see if I can find it. It was him. Jared Bacons or Backens? I don't know how you say his name. Was that him? I don't know. But yeah, once they get it all to the Life Foundation, and you find out everything that's going on. Oh, that's not him. My bad. That's not Skinny Pete. Look like him. But the whole, there wasn't a bunch of, how many do you think they had in the canisters? I don't know. I want to say like three, maybe four.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because there was only one, and it didn't come from, it was from outer space, but it came from Battle World in the Secret Wars. But I don't know. I mean, I didn't like that they were different colors either. So, and
yeah, it made you think that they were hinting at certain characters that way.
Yeah, I mean, because I knew that before we seen in this and all that and all that, you know, rumors fly around. They were talking about Carnage was going to be this. Well, technically he was, but not yet. I was, when I noticed that they were different colors, I was like, I was looking for a red one. Because by this point, I said, well, already it's wrong. So let me just see, because they're different colors, and there wasn't a red one. So I was like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. Maybe he's not going to be in this. But man, I didn't. What was he trying to do with all these? First of all, Bodhi Rook.
He wanted actually like whatever the symbiosis he wanted. Like what you get out of Venom and Riot, he wanted that to be able to basically go out into the far reaches of space. He wanted to basically like colonize a new planet. Riz Ahmed's character as like, you know, foreseeing the end of being able to live on Earth. I think he says, like, you know, only got a generation left or something on this planet. So, yeah, he was looking to try to go that way. And then it was like the whole, like, it just so happens, like, the Riot symbiote, like, he's all about, like, yeah, let's go back and, like, get all these symbiotes so we can come wipe out this planet. Like, so, I don't know. If you think about it too much, it doesn't make sense either way, because both, like, would rather go to the other place kind of thing, but, you know.
Didn't Riot come much later? I don't remember him coming in.
So. Yeah, no, there's a bunch that come later. Toxin, Anti-Venom, yeah, all that stuff comes later. For the longest time, yeah, it was just Venom and Carnage. And one of the only reasons I know they came up with Carnage is because Venom quickly turned from being like a villain to Spider-Man to actually being more of like a hero himself, like not, you know, all good, but, you know, he wasn't, you know, an all bad guy either, which is why they needed Carnage. He was a serial killer, so there's nothing good about this dude. You know, he's just a straight villain.
Yeah, that's what I liked about the Carnage character, and hopefully, I guess we're going to see it in this next film, but how they were killing, more ways on how they were killing my childhood with this film. Venom is badass. Eddie Brock is badass. Yeah, he wasn't so badass in the beginning because he was all depressed and everything because of Peter Parker. And then he hits the gym and gets all big. And the symbiote suit was actually just didn't agree with Parker and wanted him. So when he finds Eddie Brock, hey bro, let's team up and we'll both get Peter Parker, aka Spider-Man. And this one, I met Tom Hardy. He's a little taller than me, and he is a big guy, and he looks big in this. Why the fuck do you guys make him a pussy? Same thing with same thing with Venom. You and I are the same. We're both.
I'm a loser.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god! I wanted to scream that so loud. You're like me. We're both losers on my planet. Nobody likes me, and woe is me. I was like, oh, Sony, if you guys were in front of me, I'd punch you guys all in the face. I was like, oh, what the fuck? I was like, oh my god. Oh man. I did like the back and forth between the suit with the Venom and Tom Hardy's character, Eddie Brock. I did like that. That was funny. It did make me laugh. But I was like, come on. In that scene, the neighbor, he was just some old metal rocker guy blasting his music or playing his guitar. And the first encounter, Eddie kind of goes over and tells him to be quiet, and he doesn't. And that guy, he might have been a little taller than Tom Hardy, man, but he could have easily went over there and just whooped his ass, and that would have been the end of it. And I was like, oh man, just what they were doing in this, I didn't like it, man. It was just, come on, what are you guys doing to me? I know they're putting this out because it brings people to the movie. It gets people talking.
And it did, yeah.
Of course it's going to. I mean, here, listen to me bitching and complaining about it. But another thing that pissed me off was I do not remember. Did Eddie Brock have a love interest other than what's her face? Or is this, I don't remember.
Not that I remember.
Yeah, see?
From the time that I was reading, the Todd McFarlane, that first time, that's like my main time reading.
Yeah, maybe later down the line something happened, but for you guys that really read, you guys probably know a little more because I started to tone out once Venom was going all over the place, but I was there from the beginning. And I was like, okay. Yep. And I know they always got to throw some kind of little love into these films, but I don't know. I mean, I like Michelle Williams. She's beautiful and all that, and I like her in a ton of movies, but I just didn't see the need for her character in this. Tom Hardy did a good job. I mean, he always does a good job, whatever he does. He's a good actor. He knows what he's doing, and he really gets into the role. I know, yeah, I mean, you mentioned that his accent that everyone was crying around about just because of what was in the trailer. I didn't even... Yes, he's got a... I don't know where he's from, but I guess he's got
an English
accent. It didn't bother me. I mean, he was supposed to be an American, so
he's just always trying to put on a... Yeah, he's always trying to put on a voice. That's the kind of interesting thing. If you look at Bane, and you look at Inception, and you look at just anything, like, he's done that one? It wasn't, like, Castaway. It was Taboo. If you look at that TV show he did, Taboo, he's, like, putting on a voice for that, you know. So, it's funny, like, It's hard to even, I don't know, I don't think I've seen too many interviews with him, but it's like, what is his regular voice? Because it seems like that he's always putting something on.
When I met him and we were standing there talking, it was before he started filming Dark Knight Rises. I mean, I noticed that he had an accent right off, but it wasn't, right. It wasn't all... like super thick or anything. And he was really cool. I mean, he's really approachable. He wasn't, don't talk to me or anything. Nah, man. He was like, hey man, how you doing? And I just stood there and talked to him. I don't know what it was either. Nobody knew who he was at the time. And I can't remember why he was there or whatever he was promoting. But, I liked him pretty much in everything I've seen him in. And he did his job in this. I liked him. I mean, because sometimes you like, let's go back to Warrior. He was just a tough ass, hard ass Marine that kicked ass. And I mean, I know a lot of, or in Bane when he was just kicking ass. Yeah,
that was good.
We couldn't understand him very well, but he still did his job. It wasn't his fault. Who knows? Maybe he'll get a little tougher in the next film.
I don't know. They seem to be playing up that he's this like lovable loser almost. But he's gonna have to take on the serial killer.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have to just get a little tough. Yeah, man, because who he was fighting in this one, it was mainly security guards and everything and all that. I mean, that was cool. I mean, I liked all that. But I just, the action was cool. I did like that when the suit was taken over and just when we get that first scene in the apartment when he's just slamming everyone around and Eddie has no idea what's going on. I did like all that, but
That was cool.
The little slapsticky, let's eat tater tots and all that and everything. And yeah, you got it.
What about the lobster thing?
That was actually kind of funny. I did like that. And I think I probably still wouldn't have liked it. But if it was rated R, violence wise, it would have been better. Because there's actually some scenes in this when he's biting fools' heads off and faces and everything, but they don't really show it.
Oh, true. Yeah.
If it was rated R,
one thing I can't believe. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
If it was rated R, I think those scenes would have been a little more violent. And news is coming out now that I guess a lot of the stuff that they filmed was too brutal. And some of Tom Hardy's favorite stuff that they did, but it got cut. So my fingers are crossed that there's going to be a director's cut or a rated R version of this film for the Blu-ray.
Hope so.
I even want them to put just put out a rated R version of the film. I mean, little kids, I mean, of course they're going to they'll see it, but if it's rated R, I mean, the theaters and the parents know, oh, well, this one's rated R. We can't see this one. But people that do want to see the rated R
version. Did you hear what they're doing with Deadpool 2?
Making that, what, PG or PG-13?
Yeah, pretty weird. They're, like, doing it, like, Princess Bride style, and they filmed all these new scenes with Ryan Reynolds in the Deadpool suit sitting there reading to Fred Savage in the same, like, Bearsby from the Princess Bride.
Yeah, I'll see it. I need to watch Deadpool 2 again. Other than the language, I don't remember none of the violence really stuck out to me. Not like the first one, but I don't know. I'll see it. I mean, if they do that, if they do make a rated R version or uncut for the Blu-ray, of course, like I said, I'll buy it and I'll watch it just because I want to see. I don't know if they're going to throw everything that they cut out of it because it'll be a much longer film. Because from what I read, they said it was like 40 minutes that they cut out of it. And this was just a little shy of 2 hours. So I don't care. I mean, I don't mind sitting for an hour and a half or almost 3 hours if it's worth something. I mean, if it's more bloody and more violent, I'm all for it. But it's not going to do much anything for my rating for this. But I would like to see that to what they cut out. What else is there?
Did they, this is on the side just real quick, because I'm wondering if you have it. Didn't they do extended or like a different rating cut for Days of Future Past? I remember there was an event at Comic-Con where you and me took that photo with like Rogue. It was, it was the Rogue cut, right? Did you ever pick that up?
I have it, but I haven't watched it. Renee and Eric watched it and they said,
I want to watch that sometime.
They said that, they watched it. They didn't know that there was, another version, and they were saying, yeah, that one girl was in it. But then, I was like, well, that's the road cut. I said, that's not what we saw in the theater. I guess they filmed all this stuff with her.
Right.
And I don't know how much of her in the film. And then they cut it out for whatever reason. I never really went into why they did that. But, I still want to check it out. I have it. I heard it didn't do much for the story. Maybe that's why they cut it out. But with this one, other than it was just all over the place and it was a mess. I mean, I just really, I liked the Riot character, but it didn't look good, especially at the end when Venom and Riot are fighting. It was cool. I mean, I liked some of it, but it was really fast, and it was just like there was too much on the screen when Riot like flares apart and everything. I was just kind of like I have no idea how to do any of the CGI stuff. I'm just talking out of my ass, but. I mean, I've seen enough to where I know it looks good, but this one, it just looked a little rough around the edges. Maybe the center stuff you're concentrating on because you want to see their faces and everything. Yeah, that looked cool. I did like that one when he was kind of splattered up and you can kind of see Bodhi Rook and Tom Hardy. I did like that before they kind of got themselves back together.
Yeah.
But that looked cool.
Kinda cool.
But I thought what looked crappy was the very end when Tom Hardy, they show it in the commercial when you see half of Tom Hardy's face and the rest is I thought that looked horrible.
That's what I wanted to run by you before I got. Cannot believe, of all scenes, they shared basically that full scene. That is the last bit of the movie. Like, that's the part that I was like, no way. I can't believe that's like their big end moment. And they shared literally that whole scene in the trailers and the commercial with that guy holding on to the dialogue and everything. Unbelievable.
Yeah. You'll hear that scene in the beginning of this episode. I always tack on the trailer when we do these ESP at the movies.
Right.
Yeah, dude. I mean, watching when I was putting that in, editing it, I was watching the trailer and I was like, that's the whole ending scene. I was like,
right.
Well, I've said this before numerous times, or I've bitched about it numerous times. They put too much into trailers. They're way too much.
Yep.
Even there's a scene where Tom Hardy's sitting there in a front of an apartment during the day. That was at the end. And I was like, oh, come on. Like you said, we're all over the place. But the thing that kind of I thought was a little stupid, but I knew it was going to happen. At the very end of the film, not the very end, but towards the end, Tom Hardy is sitting there with Michelle Williams, and they're talking about what's going to go on forward with Eddie Brock. Because in the beginning, they show him, he's a reporter. He's got like an online Eddie Brock on the scene, or whatever his show was called. He like goes all over to all these different places, and he films it kind of like a blog or a vlog, or whatever you want to call it. I like it. But shout out to Oakland. I did like that one. And he's like, yeah, I'm gonna start out my show again, and we're gonna do that. Because this was like right after the final battle he had with Riot, and you're not too sure if Venom is there, because it kind of made it off. Hey man, all right, Eddie, well I'll see you when I see you. And you kind of figured, like, I was like, wait a minute, is Venom gone, or what's happening? Maybe that's when I thought this was gonna be a one and done, because I thought that was gonna be the end of this story, but. Eddie's sitting there talking, and then next thing you know, you hear Venom's voice, and you know he's still inside of him. So I was kind of like, all right, whatever. You know this story's going to continue, and the way all the money that it made this weekend, of course they're going to make another one. Well, they have to, the way this one ended.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I did like...
The one thing I was looking for in the credits was who did the voice of Venom, and it wasn't listed, so we can only assume that was Tom Hardy, right? And then they just like did some effects to it.
I read that he did all that first before he did his scenes. He kind of read he read and recorded all the Venom stuff, so it was his voice, which is cool. I mean, I'm cool with that. Yeah, because I was thinking. Who did the voice? I didn't really stick around. I was talking to Eric. I wasn't really paying attention to who was in it, or the
it's not listed.
Yeah. Okay. So
it didn't say voice of Venom.
I was after the movie. I was reading all kinds of things about it, and they said that he had done it, which is cool. I mean, I'm all for it. There was times of it where it kind of sounded, I thought it was him, but I wasn't too sure. And of course, you're gonna do a little tweak to the knobs and make it sound cool. I thought the Venom voice sounded cool. I never really had a voice for Venom in my head when I was reading it. But when the cartoons came out, they had a voice. It didn't sound so sinister as it did in the movie, but or even in the Spider-Man 3 one, it didn't sound all that like that.
Right.
Yeah, in this one, I'm glad they didn't do a lot of the when Venom was when he was Venom, and like to where like when Topher Grace in Spider-Man 3, it would disappear, and you would see Topher Grace's face, and he's talking, and he's got fangs and all that. I'm glad they didn't go that route with this one, because if they would have did that, I would have probably hated this movie more. But I just liked it when he was Venom. He pretty much stayed Venom. What I liked about it in Spider-Man 3 is once the symbiote got him, or got to Topher Grace or to Eddie Brock, he instantly became bad. In this one, it's more of the we're both outcasts, so let's be awesome. And
yeah,
he wasn't a bad guy. He was he's the anti-hero or in this, it's Sony just made him a good guy,
right?
So I mean, I think that's gonna be hard for kids that only see this, and then when they go back and read comic books, if they feel the urge to find out more about who Venom really is, they're gonna go like, why is he bad? And he's good in the movie. So I'm like, come on, Sony, you guys are messing with the little kids' heads that want to go back and read about it. So I think that was one of the main things I was thinking about, going, oh my God. But it's got they made it PG.
Yeah, one of the first books they did was, he was called Dark Protector. So I don't know. He's always weirdly walked that line.
But that was much later, like, because when he first came out, man, he was a bad guy. And then later on, then he becomes,
yeah, in that like first storyline. Right.
That's what I wanted in this one, and I didn't get it.
It was just, yeah.
And it,
right.
And I guess the I don't know if there were rumors, but maybe Tom Holland was just there to watch and didn't have nothing to do with it. Cause
yeah. Because
the rumors were flying around that he was on set.
Or maybe they did. They do have a scene.
I don't think so. I think he was just there to watch. He works for Sony, too, so I'm sure he was just there.
Yeah, probably.
I want to see what you guys are doing.
Right. You're right.
So, all right,
yeah,
whatever.
You're right. One of the last things I wanted to get into was, I sent you this article on the Facebook Messenger if you want to check it out. It's a Ringer article. I recommend people checking out. It's called Venom is an Instant Good Bad Movie Classic. And just their little opening, Tom Hardy is doing weird accent, Michelle Williams looks lost, Venom's relationship with Eddie Brock is weirdly sexual, and it's pretty awesome. And it kind of gets into how pretty much everything we've been talking about here, and how, you know, if there's Venom MVP voting, Tom Hardy's the MVP, and they just get into how weird the film is. And it's funny, there's like one where it says that, like, yes, Venom is basically Citizen Kane. They're joking. And the very end, this weekend, A Star Is Born might earn all the critical praise. As for me, I've fallen off the deep end with Venom. And yeah, it's a little bit of a good read. You want to check this out after we're done.
This is probably one of the main things I thought was kind of stupid. Maybe I missed it. That's kind of why I want to go back and see it. All the test experiments, back in the Life Foundation, when Bodhi Rook was testing everyone, he was basically just putting these, homeless people and people, whoever he got, hey, we're going to put you in this room and we're going to test something, and they don't know what it is. And then, okay, open it up. Then they open up these cases and the symbiotes, come out and get inside of them. This was the problem I had. Maybe it was something I missed. That's why I want to go back and see it. Everyone that it got into, or maybe you caught it and can explain it to me. Everyone it got into, it killed them all. It killed them. It killed the symbiote.
Right.
Why didn't it kill Tom Hardy? And it was in him like way longer. Was there an explanation for that? Because
Yeah, it was. And it was in the film. Basically, because it needed a match, and that was like part of the whole thing, that like the Venom symbiote actually did relate to Tom Hardy's character. But they even say, like, when he's out of him for that minute, that whatever, he's like, it was like killing him, and he's like, damn, he's like, I trusted you, and I thought we were in this together, and he's like, yeah, now how do you like it? Like whatever, you were trying to kill me and stuff like that. So it was like they just naturally were like killing. But I'd say the most unexplained one is how come the riot was so compatible with Riz Ahmed. And I guess you could say it's just because they both had murderous intent, I guess. But yeah, that was the whole thing. Like it had to be a perfect host, or it was like an instant kill.
Okay, I Now you're saying all that, I remember it. I think it was more of just
my
rage sitting in the seat.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, you're like,
yeah. I was just sitting there just doing in my seat. So, okay. I do remember.
Right.
I do remember all that. But I don't know. It just still didn't. I don't remember it doing any of that in the books. So,
right.
I don't know, man. I just. Yes, this is totally different from the comic books and everything. Eric, come here. Here's my son, Eric. He saw it. He's a little tired. What did you think of it overall? First of all, how much of the Venom character did you know of before you saw the movie?
I liked the movie. I liked the movie, and I didn't really know much about him until after the movie. He's an alien.
Do you want to see it again?
Yeah.
What was your favorite part in the whole movie?
When they're fighting on the spaceship.
Venom and Riot?
Yeah.
Did you like how they brought them all to Earth and everything?
Yeah.
The symbiotes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to give you a book to read. And it'll explain you how it really happened. But, yeah, you said you wanted to see it again.
Secret Wars.
Right? Yeah. Okay, going to the very, very final end credit scene. Remember after everybody left and it was just me, you in there? The end of the Spider-Verse. What did you think about all that?
I thought it was cool. It made me more excited for the movie.
All right. Well, you guys heard it. That's Eric, and we're going to go see it again.
Thanks.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
My mom was actually, she wanted me to mention that she was a huge fan of it. She had no history with reading the comic or anything. She's just aware of like seeing the pictures, you know, and stuff like that. So she had like known of the character, but to be honest, you know, she is more of just like the average moviegoer, and it's funny. She is not a horror person herself, like me, but it's funny, like the things she like categorizes as horror, like the alien films and stuff, you know, and stuff like she loved Predator. That's one of her favorite things. So, but she's a lot less picky when it comes to anything. It usually takes a lot for her to not enjoy a movie. She always enjoys usually almost everything we see. So, she actually really enjoyed it a lot. So, but like I said, she's not bringing in any, expectations or comic book knowledge or anything like that.
Yeah. And as far as the horror aspect, there was none in this movie.
No.
If any, maybe for, little guys, just mainly because of how Venom looked with all his sharp teeth and the way Riot looked, which I thought they did a good job with the facial expressions of Venom and everything. I thought it was more right on, but as a whole, it was missing that white spider. I mean, that's all it was missing on the appearance of Venom.
Right.
I don't know. You guys want to read it, go Amazing Spider-Man 258 and then Secret Wars number 8, actually when he got it. And then there was... can't remember the issue of Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, when that one came out. And there was also some stuff in Web of Spider-Man number 8. He actually got rid of the black suit, and I want to say Peter Parker or Spectacular Spider-Man. I can't remember if it was that one or Amazing, but then it came back, and that was when it got him again in Web of Spider-Man before Peter Parker got rid of it, because when the symbiote got him again, it beat him to hell. I did. That's what I liked about Spider-Man 3. They had that scene when they were in the church, because the vibrations and all that, and the high pitched noises is what I did like, that they threw that in this on what bothered the symbiotes and everything. So, but in Amazing Spider-Man 3, you see that scene when the vibration of the church bell is making Venom, the symbiote, go all crazy, and it got off a Peter. So I thought that was cool. But there's so many different little books to pick up to actually catch the actual origin of the symbiote and when it got to Eddie Brock, and then it got to a slew of other guys, and then Carnage, and then Riot, and then all the other ones the Zsu mentioned that came with it. And it all started with this one that came from Battle World in Secret Wars number 8. So from there on, it spent off into a jillion different stories. There's a ton of Venom books. You can't just walk into a comic book store, I need a book on Venom. There's some new ones that just came out. You gotta kind of be more
specific. Agent Venom.
What was that?
There's a character who spun off for Guardians of the Galaxy, Agent Venom.
Wasn't he mentioned in that's what's his name? In Homecoming. What was a little the bad guy in that one? Yeah, the bully? Flash. Wasn't he Agent Venom?
Flash Thompson.
Yeah, he was Agent Venom, wasn't he?
Yeah. But it was after he became disabled. Yeah, it was after he became bold, and the symbiote like helped him be able to walk,
because he lost
his when he was separated from the symbiote. Yeah, he couldn't walk.
He lost his legs, didn't he? I thought, or did he just? He just couldn't walk. I can't remember. I know he went off to the
Gulf. No, he's just disabled.
He went off to the Gulf War, and something happened right there, and then he came back, and then the symbiote.
Right,
got him.
Right.
Speaking of legs and the symbiote, I thought that was funny, and it was cool when Eddie in the movie Venom, when Eddie crashed on his motorcycle and his legs are all bent all crazy.
Yeah.
And the symbiote got back.
Oh, yep.
It fixed him. I laughed. I mean, that was ridiculous scene, but it put a smile on my face.
Right.
That's all due to Tom Hardy's acting on how he was. I mean, he played an excellent role. He was he can be slapsticky, he can be funny, he can be really serious, and he can be badass. I think Tom Hardy is one of those actors that can do everything. That's why I remember when he first got casted in this, I was kind of like, okay, he can be a badass. But then once we saw the first trailer, we found out that he's not. And now that we've seen the movie, he was far from a badass and a tough guy and everything. So, I mean, I liked what he did with the right role. When he takes his roles, he really gets into it, and that's probably like my favorite thing of this movie, other than I hated most of it or a lot of it. That he can take any role and make it him. I don't know if he's going to carry on being Eddie Brock and Venom. Who knows? And who knows how many more movies are coming? But I know everyone's going to not listen to
hopefully
me.
Hopefully, at least one more.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, don't listen to me, all the bitching that I was doing about this film. Go see it for yourself and come up with your own. And I'm sure a lot of you that are listening to us, that listen to us this far, you've already seen it. So, yeah, go see it. Again, I'm going to go see it again.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm going to buy it, because I got to put it with all the other comic book movies.
Right. Do you think you're missing any from your collection off the top of your head, comic book movies?
All Fantastic Four ones. No, I got the first two. I think that other one, the reboot with
the most recent.
Yeah, I think that's the one I don't have. Marvel wise, I think other than
if
that,
that's the only one you're missing. You might as well get it.
I'm gonna, but I think I'm just. But I saw the Steelbook. I'll probably get that one. It was only $10, so.
There you go.
I think that's the only one I'm missing. I got pretty much everything else. even the ones I didn't really care for.
Nice.
I got all the MCU ones.
Nice.
But the other Fox ones, I think I have all the X-Men, first three Spider-Mans, or Sam Raimi Spider-Mans, and then the two Amazing Spider-Mans, I have those. Homecoming. I know I have the Incredible Hulk. I think I have the Blu-ray. Or not Incredible Hulk, when it was just Hulk. I think I have that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to say I have the Steelbook. I don't know. I just need to look. I know that movie was horrible. But, that's what... okay, speaking of Hulk, what's his nuts? Jack Cates. Nick Nolte. That's what... when Riz Ahmed, Bodie Rook became Riot. That was the first one that character. What was the character's name in Hulk when he became that electric monster or whatever the hell it was? Remember that?
I do, but I don't remember what it was referred to.
It was horrible, but I think that kind of reminded me of that for some reason. I don't know why. It's got nothing to do with each other's characters, but it just. I bought it that way. I was kind of like, oh, this is a mess. But,
right.
And going back again.
Yeah, it's on that level.
I just didn't buy Bodie Rook as a bad guy. But on a good note, like I said, it makes me want to go finish The Night Of because he was,
yeah, awesome.
He was so nice and innocent. Well, or just stupid, and he was a nice guy in the beginning. I'm sure he was a nice guy throughout the whole series, but he was just that. That's all I see him, and he was real. He was innocent and wanted to help the rebellion in Rogue One, and then in this one, he's trying to be the sophisticated badass evil mad scientist. And I didn't buy it from him, not one bit.
Yeah, I definitely recommend checking out Night Of. Because, yeah, without getting too much into it, you know, the performance does change.
All right, yeah, I'll probably finish that. I mean, well, that's one thing Venom got me was to go back and finish that. Because I had said, if you guys listen to Up to the Challenge, I wasn't even
right.
I was just going to let it fade off into the wind. But, yeah, seeing him in right. this and just, I'm like, it kind of made me like, damn, I need to see what's going to happen. So. I'll probably finish that. And
yeah, good show.
Whenever we get to the regular episodes,
good
after
show,
I finish,
good show.
I'll bring it back up. But as far as Venom, the Zisu liked nice. It way more than I did. And, yeah, go see it.
Yeah. On a scale, it's far from perfect. I knew that going in, and that's why I was able to enjoy it more than I normally would. And you know how I'm weird with my scales. We don't usually do this for every movie, but I'd say if I had to, out of 10, I'd probably 6.5. I'd be kind enough to give it a 7 if I was forced to land on a whole number. But yeah, 6.5, 7 is where I'd land on it.
I'd give it a 2. That's a... Just because it made me laugh a couple times, and I liked some of the CGI effects, and that's about it. I mean, if you saw this with me, you'd have probably been either got up and moved or whatever. Because I wasn't like super loud about it, but I was groaning in my seat, but. Yeah, that's me. And again,
right?
Again, Venom has such a nice warm heart spot in my heart. And Sony, you're killing me, Sony.
Yeah, I guess that's all we got on it. I don't know if I'll make it out again, especially since I haven't seen Star Is Born yet. So and figure movies are going to... I still haven't seen Clock in the Walls, too. I kind of want to see that, so I don't know if I'll get out to see it again, but and it's a maybe to pick up when it comes out, so we'll see. But, yeah, I like the fuzz, and yeah, I think that's all I got on it. If you're ready to put a wrap on this one.
Yeah, but quick note, my wife did see A Star Is Born. She said it was really good and it was sad. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'll probably eventually see it. I don't know if I'm going to rush out and see it, but I'll eventually see it. I think I'll see Venom again before I see Star Is Born. So, yeah, I mean, other than that, man, you heard all my complaints and the little bit of likes that I liked about it. And again, see it for yourself. You be the judge. And yeah. But great. Other than that, man, hey, thanks everyone for listening to me complain. And you guys always hear me complain. So it's nothing new. You expect it. Like, if you know me,
you know. That's like, why you love it.
Like the Zisu. Like he goes, she tried to tell me, go in there with an open mind and just take it for what it is. I think I tried for like a second, and then they like I said,
yeah,
with
let it go.
With James, the astronaut Jameson, that's when it does.
They
got me right from the get go. But all right, everyone, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back later this week with a regular episode.
Yep. Till then, have fun. Be safe. And we'll see you in the Spider-Verse.